Hello, everyone, here and on at home online. Really warm Sabbath greeting to all of you. Really appreciated the first message. It has elements that lead well into what I wanted to bring to you, too. Brethren, you know that this year my focus has been on the goal of going on to perfection. We've covered some of those early elements of it. Last time I spoke, it was about forgetting those things which are behind and pressing onward. Today, I wanted to look at the real-life example of King David and look at something that we have in Scripture that I think will help us in our own lives, too. We live in a different age and a different kind of society and world, and our jobs are very different. Our lifestyle, everything is different with us compared to King David. But some of the things he learned and then spoke to God and then wrote in psalms that were set to music, some of those things can be very, very helpful to us in our life and our pursuit of perfection that God has called us to. And so I wanted to go through some things that way, because having a real example of a real person can be encouraging and enlightening to us. As we get into the two chapters that I want to cover, I chose these for a reason. You'll see it as we go, because it uses the word perfect and perfecting. And so it attracted my attention that way. And then I realized both these chapters came from the same inspiration. One early in the life of David, and I think he modified it through his lifetime. And then at the end of his lifetime, he used that same inspiration again, and it's now in one of the Psalms. So it was something that was important to him as a young man, but also then at the end of his own life. And those two chapters are 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18. And from these, I'm looking at some of the life lessons from King David. And so the title, therefore, is Life Lessons from King David. In 2 Samuel 22, which is the primary chapter that we'll use, but I'll also then be coordinating it, as I sometimes do, and tying those verse by verse with some of the same things that we see in Psalm 18. It says in verse 1, "Then David spoke to the Lord the words of the song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." And so this phrase, "and from the hand of Saul," it puts this experience, the inspiration from which he wrote, early in his life, because he became king when he was 30, and he was interacting with Saul from his late teens until he became king after Saul died. And so we can read in some of the chapters of 1 Samuel, some of the encounters with Saul, and we'll see some of that as we go. But I just want to give a time period here, because a young man was inspired to write these things, and an old man, the same gentleman 40-some years later, was still looking at those life lessons and at the point of sharing them with all of us. This was apparently a song that David had composed then when he was young. Chapters 22 and 23 here in 2 Samuel, these are the final reflections of David at the end of his reign. And you see this chapter 22, and just look over the next one, 23. And chapter 23 is the title, in the heading in my Bible says, David's Last Words. And so here we see his reminiscence, his expounding of important things in his life at the very end of his life. In chapter 22, in verse 2, he says, "And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." It's interesting. Very, very interesting if you see something here and then you see it in Psalm 18. So in my Bible, I've got it marked with the ribbon so I can turn back and forth easily. But I want to point out some of the differences, because when he first wrote this, it was in the words that we can see here in 2 Samuel 22, recorded earlier in his life. Later, when he included it in the Psalms, he added something here very important. Look in Psalm 18, and again, we'll read the introduction to that psalm. It was also part of the inspired wording that was given to David. It said, as the proscription here in Psalm 18, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, from the hand of Saul. And he said," and so I just tie these two together. It's the same inspiration, different times of his life he's writing about this. Notice what he said in Psalm 18, the end of verse 1. "I will love you, O Lord, my strength." He starts out with this incredible, fervent expression of love to God. That's a very rarely used Hebrew word there. "I will love you with the fervor of my heart." And David is now, as he edits this song that he wrote, he added that. "I will love you, O Lord, my strength." The strength, the word there is also from Hebrew, hazak, the strength of holding fast. And here at the end of his life, he's holding fast to those things that he learned earlier in his life. The Lord, back in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, his immovable defense." As Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 32, and I'll read it for you in verse 4. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4 says, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." Moses had that approach, and David did too, and said, "The Lord is my rock and is my fortress and my deliverer." Verse 3, I'm not going to read all the verses in this book, in this chapter. I just want to highlight some that pertain to our goal as a congregation this year. You'll see at the end some of these phrases. We'll see how David responded to them, and we can as well. He said in verse 3, "The God of my strength, in whom I will trust." David is expressing some very important lessons as he had learned to trust God. He learned to love him, learned to trust him, to believe him, to know that the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation. It's interesting that some of these things that were inspired in this song, they appear in other verses in Scripture. Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist, when he was speaking and by understanding that had been given to him, he quotes this, "But the horn of my salvation." I'm going to read that to you in Luke chapter 1, because we see here hints in David's writing of things of the Messiah, understanding that there was more to come in God's plan. In Luke 1, in verse 69, Zacharias wrote, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us. And David has seen this and understood there was this connection to something important that God would be doing through the Lord who became his son, the horn of my salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And David had been given those promises, and it's interesting to see these things coming through in the words that he wrote. David continued there in verse 3, "My stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence." What we're reading is almost in a poetic sense. David was a songwriter, a poet, more artistic in his way of expressing himself at times. But he realized the true security comes only from God. He understood that, and he writes of it in that way. In verse 4, he said, "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." David knew that he could pray to God and call upon him as worthy to be praised. He saw the love and the compassion and the righteousness and justice of God. He understood that and praised him. "So shall I be saved from my enemies," he said. And this is also quoted by Zacharias in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 71 for you as well. It says that we should be saved from our enemies. The Lord was sent as our Messiah to save us from our enemies. David understood that he can call upon the Lord, who does save him from his enemies. And he saves us too. And that's part of the mission of Jesus Christ. So we see in these verses a prelude to praise, a prelude of praise of David to his God. And think of this as he tells us, as it opens up, he spoke these words to God. These are his prayer recorded now for us to read as well, put into a song to help us as it helped him. In verse 5, he says, "When the waves of death encompassed me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid." You ever feel that way? When it's like, what can I do? How can I get out of this very difficult situation? And again, we see, and it's so beautifully written. It's David's poetic language to depict some of the mortal dangers he faced in life. We can read of his account in 1 Samuel and part of 2 Samuel as well. See some of the things he went through. And when he was most in danger, the waves of death surrounded him, he said, he knew that God was there, even when he was afraid. In verse 6, "The sorrows of Sheol, of the grave, surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me." And sometimes the trials we go through can feel that way and are that way, as intense for us as they were for David, but maybe in a different way than he experienced. Just as real. And our emotions and our fears and our hopes and dreams can be just as important as David's were. Verse 7, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God." What we're seeing is the life lessons of a young man who he carried the same lessons through the next 40 years of his life, his way of staying close to his God. Cried out to him, prayed to him, looked to him in times of distress. It says, "He heard my voice from his temple." David knew that God heard him. His prayers were reaching higher than the ceiling. his prayers were reaching into the temple of heaven itself, so he could speak to his God in heaven. He says, "My cry entered his ear." Brethren, there are life lessons here for us. This is how David made it through his life. This is what brought him through. This is what helped him to be called by God, a man after my own heart. These kinds of things that we learn. And I really love that he put it in such concise, poetic language in a single chapter of the Bible. You can have so many really wonderful messages, so many life lessons here that we could explore and see more fully in the rest of his life too. The next number of verses, he speaks of the great power of God and all the things he did. He puts it in those ways that an artist might consider. Look at just a couple of them. In verse 8, "Then the earth shook and trembled. The fountains of heaven moved and shook because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils." He begins to make it like it's real and big and graphic, and the things that he understood God could do and did for him in the way he helped. I want to drop down to verse 29 and pick up the flow for us in our pursuit of the goal for this year, to go on to perfection. How did David do that? What did he do that helped him? In verse 29, it says, "For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness." In the first message, we heard about a lamp, lighting the way. We heard about things that are very similar to what David expresses in his own way. "You are a lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness." And we can look to that as well and ask him to show us the way. In Psalm 18, in verse 28, it says it this way, "For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." David knew when he needed a way forward, he needed to know what to do and how to do it. He could look to God and his word, and that God would light his way, show him the way. In the NIV, it says it this way, "You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light." And David knew that it was God who caused his life to work so well, to turn out as it did. He knew that it was the seeking of his goals according to the word of God that helped ultimately for his life to flourish. These were blessings that he was very, very grateful to have. David's son Solomon picked up this theme as well. I'll read what he said in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day." That day when perfection will be complete, the perfect day, the sun is shining brighter every day. The path of the just, that same path we're on, we're going toward the same goal that David was given and that he picked up and made to be his own. I love the way the Apostle John wrote of this in 1 John 2 and verse 8. And I find this so very encouraging, and it fits with what David wrote and Solomon and others. John wrote it this way, "The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining." And that true light is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And David could look in his life and understand that, "You are my lamp. You are my light. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. That's a pretty big life lesson to understand and to see. In 2 Samuel 22 and now verse 30. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. We could phrase it this way. By you I can accomplish things that I didn't believe I could do. I can overcome the temptations. I can withstand the persecutions. I can do things that would require miraculous help because you are there to give it. David said, for by you I can run against a troop. In his life he did. He ran against armies with swords and arrows and weapons against him. He'd leap over a wall. You wonder how many times he did that. And then afterwards reflect on it and said, God was with me then in that battle and helped me. Verse 31, he says, as for God, his way is perfect. We are to become perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. And David saw this. God's way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven, cannot be denied, it cannot fail. He is a shield to all who trust in him. The word of the Lord is proven. Often in our camps, these kind of themes come up. God's way works. And some of our speakers bring those messages back and speak of them and remind us of them. It's one of the life lessons of David. God's way works. As for God, his way is perfect. It's the way forward for all of us because God is there to help us. David knew that God's way did not fail. And so, because of his blessing, David's way would not fail. You'll see this just a couple verses later. The remainder of this song is David's praise of God for all that God had done for him. This song is like in three big sections, and there's now David turns his attention to this praise because this is part of how he responded to his God. Verse 32, for who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? There's no one else. We have the one and only God who is able to save. All the false gods are nothing in his sight. Verse 33, God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. David understood that in his life, he said just two verses up, God's way is perfect. Now he says, he makes my way to be perfect in the sense of following in his way. Not that God lowered his standards and said, okay, you're perfect. No, he brought David to that level in his character and his ability, his faith, his belief in all the spiritual ways. He helped David to attain to a greater spiritual maturity, one day to be made perfect when Christ returns. These verses, verse 31 through 33, this is one of David's life lessons, to see that there is someone so perfect and some way so perfect that we can follow that and trust and believe and attain to the blessing and the promises that he will give to us. It's God who makes our way, our path, perfect. This is a lesson. Again, you can see it in this chapter and in Psalm 18. You see this lesson develop over his lifetime, but it began early, before he was king. And now, late in his life, he emphasizes these things. He wrote in other psalms as well. I'll read a few as we go. Psalm 138 and verse 8, David's word, he said, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." Such a powerful understanding. The Lord will perfect, will complete that which concerns me. David knew that God understood and wanted him to be better, more perfect, more complete, more righteous, more loving, more caring, more compassionate, filled with all the fruits of the Spirit. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Brethren, this is a lesson for us too. We see it through the life of a man who lived, and he's sharing this blessing with all of us. Verse 34, 2 Samuel 22, "He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on high places." You ever been up in a mountainous area and you see deer and they can just scamper almost up a cliff and you go, how do they even do that? And they just go up and it looks so easy. They're so sure-footed and fast and quiet at times. "He sets me on high places." Verse 35, "He teaches my hands to make war." Now, David was a king who had to protect and the nation of Israel and lead them in battles against those who fought with them. We have a different lifestyle than he did, but he understood that it was God who taught him to make war. It's God who teaches us to make peace. It's just as hard to make peace. "So that my arms," he said, "can bend a bow of bronze." That's speaking of a lot of strength. And those of you who know metals, you might understand that bronze is, it's not a tactile metal like some that can bend quite easily. If you're going to bend a bow of bronze, it takes enormous amount of strength. And David is saying, that's okay. God would give him the strength to do what he needed to do. In verse 36, he says, "You have also given me the shield of your salvation." He always looked forward to the eternal life that God had promised. And then he said this, "Your gentleness has made me great." The king who fought battles, who slew the giant Goliath, who did all those things we read about. And he says in one of his praises of God, "Your gentleness has made me great." And we can see that too in our lives, the gentleness of our Father and of our Lord. Verse 37, "You enlarged my path under me." That path that was illuminated by that lamp that we spoke of, you enlarged the path, he says, "so my feet did not slip." Sometimes we need that. We need that safe place to be in our walk with God so we don't slip, we don't stumble, and we can be strengthened and helped by him in a personal way as David was. Brethren, in these two chapters, we see many different life lessons that can really apply for us as well. This Song of David grew over four decades. As I mentioned before, it began before David became king. It was refined at the end of his life. And in between those times, David had learned another life lesson, perhaps the most important of all. And we can see hints of that in the two chapters that we've been reading here. Look in Psalm 18. We're going to see hints of another life lesson here. In verse 25, Psalm 18, verse 25. He says, with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. I think David understood these words so very well. Because you know the story of something he did that was so terrible and resulted in people dying when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. But his reaction to that, already having written some of this song, already knowing and having this relationship we've been talking about with God, now he learned this great lesson as well. In Psalm 51, in verse 1, I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 51 because these are also his words. He said it in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. In that song that we've been reading, Psalm 18, that portion of it, says, with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. Here he comes to God. Says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Continuing to verse 4, 2 through 4 in Psalm 51. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. David had learned that God is merciful, and God is blameless, that he could, and he did, make David blameless again. God is able to forgive our transgressions and cleanse us from our sins. What a great life lesson, and David Hinn said it very clearly here. In verse 14, Psalm 51, it says, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. These words we've been reading today are one of David's songs, sung aloud of God's righteousness. Some of the lessons learned before and some of the lessons learned after this occurrence with the sin that he had committed. Consider these passages we've just read in Psalm 51 with what we will go back now to in Psalm 18 and see it and things that we heard already. Earlier, I read them from 2 Samuel 22. Now in Psalm 18, the same song, he says it this way in verse 4. The pangs of death encompass me. Now, these sound like someone experiencing the need for repentance. And the floods of ungodliness made me afraid, and David was afraid. And he came before God when he sinned and repented then. The sorrows of Sheol, or the grave, surrounded me. He knew what was in store unless God forgave him. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Psalm 51 is a great record of that. In his distress, he called upon the Lord. And cried out to my God. You know, the Bible would be incomplete without Psalm 51. Without that expression of genuine repentance that David had gone through, and God said, this is the kind of lesson everyone needs to know. And so it's here for us to see. And he heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Before David repented, he was in more danger than at any time in any battle he'd ever been in. And he knew that. And he came to his senses and realized that he needed to cry out to God for that deliverance. And he did. Brethren, there's so much here, and so much more could be said, but I made a list of some of these life lessons that are in this song that David wrote. And they're great ones. I just want to just read again through this list. David loved the Lord. Beautiful life lesson for us. He knew that it was God who gave him the strength to hold fast. So he did. He believed that God was his rock and his fortress and his immovable defense. We can believe that too. He knew that he could trust God. Now, someone teaching us that we can trust God too, a very, very good lesson for us. He believed that the Lord is his Savior and would give him salvation. You know, almost any one of these could be enough, a life lesson that would change us. But David put all of these in the same song. David called upon the Lord, knowing he is worthy of praise. So can we. David cried out to his God when he was in distress, and he knew that God heard. David believed that the Lord was his lamp and would light his way out of darkness, and we can believe that he will show us the way forward in our life too. He understood that with God's help, he could overcome every enemy and every trial, and with God's help, he did. David realized that all of God's ways are perfect, and he acknowledged that, and he wanted to attain to that himself. He believed that the word of the Lord is proven, that it will not fail, and he knew that God is a shield to all who trust in him. David knew that it was God who could make him strong. And David believed that it is God who could and would make his way perfect. Brethren, again, we don't have the same kind of life that David lived. We don't live in the same time of history. We're not the king of the nation. We don't have to guide the armies to battle. But some things are just the same for us as they were for David. Whether we're young or old men or women, there's some truth in things he said that matter for each one. The Lord and God who called David from the sheepfold to be the king over all Israel is the same Lord and God who has called us. David believed. David believed that there was the Lord and the God. He used different names of God in this one chapter. He used the phrase Elohim, the word, the name. He used Eloah. He used other names. He spoke in another psalm of the Lord said to my Lord. And David, in his heart, in his worship, his praise, he knew that there was a Lord who spoke to his Lord. And we believe that too. David learned and believed that his Lord and God could and would bring him to salvation. Same Lord and the same God is doing that in our lives now. He knew that it's God who makes his way perfect. And now as we go on to perfection, we look to that too. And it is our Lord and our God who are working in us and with us as they worked in and with David. The life lessons that David learned were so good, were so powerful, were so perfect, were so meaningful that God inspired them to be preserved for our benefit too. God's ways are perfect, and we can follow the same lighted path to perfection too. In Psalm 18, in verse 1, David said it best when he edited his song and added this. He put it into the book that would become the Psalms. He said, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength." Then in verse 46, he said, "The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted." Brethren, we can say these same things. And these lessons are for us. And these are our life lessons too.